definitely going back to the playoffs and going further in the playoffs to go versus the Warriors. I want to play the Warriors. I want to get to the Warriors. Wherever they at, I want to get to them.
Gotcha. Why the Warriors so much?
I mean, because Draymond talks so much trash. That's pretty much the only reason.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. And you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Day-day! That was 2 years ago.
I love it.
That was Anthony Edwards talking about his playoff future. And he wants the Warriors, mainly because Draymond Green talks so much S. Okay.
It's great.
Here we are.
Yep.
And as we found out yesterday, you detailed this. This is one of two Western Conference teams that Steph Curry and Draymond Green have never played in the playoffs.
That's right.
And so as of tonight, it will be down to one, the Phoenix Suns. That's the only team. So there are all kinds of crossover factors between these two teams. Anthony Edwards said he wanted the Warriors 2 years ago. Anthony Edwards had a pre-draft workout with the Warriors. The year that they drafted James Wiseman, he went number one overall. The Warriors said directly to his face, Steve Kerr said, if we had the number one pick, we would not take you. The workout did not go well, apparently, between these two. Kerr has coached him in the Olympics. Dante DiVincenzo used to play for the Warriors. I think you've heard Jimmy Butler used to play for the Wolves. The Wolves passed on Steph Curry twice in the lottery the year that Steph Curry was coming out. So, like, man, there's a lot of stuff that leads to this moment in time.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. It's not a rivalry by any stretch, but just the Anthony Edwards part of it and hearing him talk like that about how he wants the Warriors and Draymond Green. And Anthony Edwards is the future of the association, not only as a player, but also as a trash talker. And you look at the technical list this year, he's number one in the league in techs, and he got fined more than any other player because he couldn't stop talking about the officials and, you know, complaining about this and complaining about that. So Anthony Edwards is the perfect mix of elite player, and he's probably, you would put him right now top 10 in the association.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Easy top 10.
I'm going even, but yeah, I'll go higher.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of it is determined by how you do in the playoffs because there's a lot of good players, and we'll get into that as we talk parity a little bit later, but he's the perfect mix of elite player and also elite talker in the association.
Anthony Edwards really strikes, I think, the perfect chord. I'm a fan. I love Anthony Edwards. Now, again, we're about to start a playoff series, and playoff series have a way of making whichever team you're rooting against, by the end of that week and a half, you despise them all. I had never even thought of Alpi Şengün.
Mm.
I had never even thought of him in my life.
I was a big fan.
No, I know. I was aware of him.
Sure.
I'm not saying I didn't know who he was, but I never spent any time thinking about Alpi Şengün.
Yep.
I don't go home from the show being like, huh, I wonder what Şengün's doing right now.
Same thing with Amen Thompson.
Yeah, none of them. Brooks, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Van Vliet,
history.
Playoff history.
Yep.
But the rest of these dudes, I got, like, no thoughts about you. And 3 days later, I'm like, I can't stand that guy.
Right.
Like, I can't stand this guy. So playoff series have a way of doing that to you. But outside of Rudy Gobert, who's actually only, like, just mildly annoying.
I'd say more than mildly, but
yeah,
that's
but
fine.
It's just like, whatever. Like, Rudy Gobert. Okay. You're tall. Nice. Like, what do you actually do on the court? Okay.
He rubbed his COVID all over microphones.
Yes. No, see, he's annoying. He's annoying. And I sometimes, I mean, like, I don't ever want to judge a person until I got my own personal experience with you. But I do think it's interesting that Gobert seemingly has not gotten along with a lot of his own teammates through the years. And yes, Donovan Mitchell being at the front of the line, I don't know how well-respected Rudy is around the league. But whatever, keep that over here for a second. Largely, this Wolves roster, it's a bunch of players I kind of dig. I kind of dig them. I love, I mean, you and I literally made content out of DiVincenzo.
Mm.
You got, right? He is. He's restaurant quality.
Restaurant quality.
I do like Anthony Edwards. Naz Reid, I've had like a Warrior crush on for years. Like, I wish he were a Warrior. He does exactly what they need. Stretch big man, knock down a three. Jaden McDaniels is a two-way player who I really admire, Julius Randle.
Did you cover Randle down in L.A.? Was he there in your Laker days?
No,
missed him.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, I was there, but I think I was kind of doing San Diego stuff by then, so okay. It was like, whatever. But, yeah, Julius Randle, I think I don't think he's great, but he's underrated. He's an underrated player in this league. So I've enjoyed watching them play. I like the way they play. I think they're well coached. All these things. But by tomorrow, I'll probably hate them all.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Like, who do you hate on this team? Like,
nobody yet.
Right.
Gobert's the only one who I like,
Even going into Houston, though, it was easy to look at Houston and say, all right.
Dylan Brooks.
And when I say hate, it's a sports hate, and maybe Dylan, it goes beyond sports hate, but it was easy to look at that and go, yeah, Dylan Brooks. And then after about 8 minutes of Şengün, it's like, all right, this guy, you need to knock that off because I can't stand watching you do what you do. But beyond that, like Fred VanVleet, he was annoying, but it was kind of funny because he really couldn't shoot and we all were celebrating that. And
totally.
Then all of a sudden he got white hot and it's like, no, not him again. Well, oh, that's right. He was that Toronto guy.
Yeah, he was Toronto guy. There was Tari Eason for whatever that.
Yeah,
I mean, that was no big deal, but he was trolling the Warriors a couple years ago, or maybe that was last year when he wasn't.
Warriors.
Yeah, come out to play. Yeah. That's Tari. And he, wasn't even playing when he did that. He was hurt. But the Rockets beat the Warriors in like a regular season game. And Tari was trash talking him, and it got Draymond's attention and all of this stuff. So there were little things. But yeah, you're right. Like,
Mike Conley, for example.
I got no issue with Mike Conley. That's a really good veteran guard.
I mean, just a sturdy 37-year-old left-hand dribbling, like, just a good guy.
I look at the Wolves, and largely what I've thought through the years, or at least this year, I'm like, dude, that guy right there would fit perfectly on the Warriors.
Bunch of them.
Like, I love some of their players. I wish they were on the Warriors. So I have an admiration for this team. It'll go away. First time I think somebody got fouled and didn't get called for it.
Yeah.
First time I see someone swipe at Steph's thumb, don't worry, it'll go away. But right now I sit here like, dude, I've kind of enjoyed watching this team play this year.
Yeah, and they've been amazing since March 1st. They are 21-5 in all games since March 1st. So it's a team that figured it out, and I think that they were having a little trouble with the Julius Randle part of it. How do you get him to fit into your offense? Because he plays a certain way, and the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, has been so good all year. And then you've got this collection of really, really good pieces. Naz Reid and, Rudy Gobert, a defensive stopper, and Dante DiVincenzo. That's the one that hurts me the most because, I would love for him to be a Warrior again. And I know why he's not. He played so well that they couldn't afford him. And then he went to New York, and then New York just kind of scuttled him out the door. And then he wound up in Minnesota. So I'm happy that he's doing so well, but not this week.
Do you remember when we did the whole, like, forget the seedings as they actually look?
Yep.
Here are the seedings since Jimmy Butler's arrival in the Western Conference. Yeah. And I'm like, the Warriors aren't the 7 seed. They're the 2 seed. Oklahoma City was still number 1. Golden State was number 2. Do you have a recollection of where the Timberwolves were?
I mean, we did the guessing game, and there were so many buzzers that my ears are still ringing, but I think I had the T-Wolves at 5, but they actually probably were 3.
Right? Sandwich that sucker. Buzzer him. They're not 5.
I'm looking at Grandy's
sandwich
in there.
They're not 3.
They must be 4 then.
Yeah, they're 4.
Yeah,
Wait, what are they? 4! Yeah. So, like, 6 versus 7? No. 2 versus 4. 2 versus 4.
Yeah.
That's how I view these teams because there's so many examples of this in life. Dude, you are what you are and you are who you are right now, not what you were. The Timberwolves have a record this year. This is why, and you and I, we will forever laugh at one another whenever we have this argument about you are what your record says
are.
I'm like, no, you're not. You are who you are right now. You are who you are right now, and your record is filled with a bunch of stuff that, while it counts, it also has context. And the Warriors have a bunch of games on their record this year where Jimmy Butler wasn't on the team. And the Timberwolves have a bunch of games on their record this year where Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo were hurt. But you are who you are right now.
Right, and their records are 0-0.
Yes, but yeah, what I'm talking about is they're largely both teams are of full health, and they are ready to rock, and they are two of the top four teams in the West, and it's why they're in the Final Four in the West.
And they're two of the four remaining teams. Yes. And we can talk about you are what your record says, and OKC won 68 games, and yet they're down 0-1 to Denver. So does the 68 wins in the regular season matter? Not really.
Not anymore.
Because now you need to win four of the next six, or else you're going to be one of the biggest disappointments in playoff history.
You don't even have home court advantage anymore.
Right.
That's all it takes.
So for me, the record that you have right now is 0-0. You're 0-0, and Minnesota's the same.
Agreed. I think this is a heavyweight fight.
Oh, they all are,
this is a heavyweight
fight. You said it yesterday, like the eight remaining teams, any of those eight could win the whole thing.
All right, we're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport, 888-957-9570, taking your phone calls on this series that's about to start. And are you feeling kind of positive, or are you feeling kind of negative as this thing gets started? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now, and also coming up next. Let's go ahead. I'll let you hear it. Let you hear what Day-Day said about Dylan Brooks on his podcast earlier today. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
We're doing Warriors Live tonight. I hope you know that.
I do know that.
We're doing it.
I'm just a little bit locked in on Grandy, and I apologize to the YouTube audience, but he's playing lean back, Fat Joe. I don't know if I'm ready to lean back on game one, but that's a straight jam, Grandy. I didn't know you had that in you.
It's a jam, but I think it's counterintuitive to what I want the Warriors to do tonight on defense.
You want them to lean in.
I don't want you to lean back.
You don't want them to do the rock away.
A lean back. No, I want you to lean in. I want you to get up in somebody. You know the way Dylan Brooks likes to do.
Yeah.
I want you to get up in there. Get all up in that. You know what I'm saying?
I want you to keep your eyes trained on any T-Wolf who happens to get near Steph Curry's thumb. I want you to bring that same energy for a T-Wolf who happens to take a swipe at the chef.
Okay. And Draymond addressed that, actually, in this clip. And
I cannot wait to hear this.
And he said, well, look, forget, I don't need to tell you what he said. Just listen. And so I have applied for a special waiver because today is game one between the Wolves and the Warriors. The Rockets are gone.
We're going forward.
The Rockets are in the past. Mm. They are in Cancun. They're gone. They're all gone.
Wow. Jim McKay.
Sorry.
70-year-old reference. I got it.
I know you did.
One of Steiny's favorites, by the way. Shout out to Munich Olympics.
What's up, Steiny? I hope you enjoyed that. Grandy and Lucas looking at each other. We don't get it. Anyway,
you got to Google it.
It's fine.
Powerful moment in TV history.
I know. No, you shook his head.
Whatever. Know your history, you whippersnappers.
They are. They're all gone. They're all gone.
Yeah,
but apply for a special waiver because I just one more time, you know, for Dylan Brooks, you know, for whacking Warriors out of midair and going after pre-existing injuries and things like that. Listen to Draymond Green talking about Dylan Brooks after the series came to its conclusion. This from the Draymond Green show via The Volume.
Dylan Brooks ran off the court. So when I say you see what guys is made of, he ran off the court, like, ain't shake nobody up. You admitted that you was trying to hurt Steph's hand, which, again, fine by me, bro. Like, I get it. We all get it when you hoop. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to be on that type of time,
he gotta wear be shades on that time all, in the press he conference. He got to be on that time all the time.
You're going to be talking. You're going to be Mr. Big Bad Wolf. Don't lose and then not face the music. Don't be that guy. Because, again, you lose a lot of respect for guys in that moment. I had a moment with Dylan Brooks back when he was with Memphis, and I said the dynasty start after you. And the reason I said that is because things like that. Because, bro, you like, so then guess what? Then Tari Eason do it. He lead the court. I got love for Tari Eason. His mom was talking. You know what I'm saying? My mom almost had to get out of
it. You got a lot of, man, you're shouting them out earlier in the year, though.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I got a lot of love for the way he played. Yeah. And I ended up catching him right before he was about to walk out the arena. And he was like, he was walking this way, so he didn't have to come by me. But I could, in my distance, I could see him right there. And I went and I dabbed him up. that was kind of a little save, but don't be that guy, man. Like, you don't, yeah,
you
like,
gotta teach him. You gotta teach him.
You lose a series.
You gotta,
like,
teach him, right?
Yeah. But that's who Dylan Brooks is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we understand, like, you a sucker, man.
Hmm. I mean,
that was a minute and 21 seconds of loveliness.
It was a lot to unpack.
Except for the parts I couldn't hear because Baron Davis kept going,
Baron's a part of it.
Yeah, he is. And sometimes we step on each other.
Tari Eason's mom and Draymond's mom almost got into it, apparently.
I got 50 different things out of that quote.
There's a lot. But the big takeaway is if you're going to be that guy and you're going to intentionally try to hurt Steph Curry, and Draymond's like, I'm cool with that. And I'd love to hear that because that's basically what you do in a best of seven. But the one thing I love the most about hockey is best of seven. You drop the gloves. I'm going to cross check you, slash you. I'm going to try to slash you up and hurt you. But when it's over, we're going to line up. We're going to shake hands. We're going to dap each other up. And there is no excuse. And that is just the culture of what you do. And you play seven games in the NBA, and that's not the NHL. I'm not making that comp. But when you go through seven games and it's you're trying to hurt me and, you know, Jimmy got clipped at the legs and I punched Fred in the face, let's all, like, let's dap each other up and realize that we're all so lucky to do what we do and we fought hard for seven and let's just pay each other respect. That's all. And so I love what Draymond was saying.
Draymond spent more time on his podcast talking about how much he loves Şengün and what he thinks he's going to be in this league. And those two spent extended time talking to one another after Game 7 ended. I'm not somebody who gets terribly triggered because somebody left the court, but I will say this. Like, there was another thing in here, and it's sort of during one of the parts where Baron Davis and Draymond were talking over each other a little bit, but he's talking about, like, if you're going to be that guy, then you need to be that guy all of the time. And one of the examples he gave, and I can't remember if it was Draymond or Baron who said it, but talking about if you're going to be up there in the press conference with your shades on and your chains after a win, if you're going to do that, then you better do that all the time. It confirmed for me, not that I really was confused, but if anybody does want to go back to the Game 7 press conference and look at the way Steph Curry dressed himself for that press conference, you better 1,000% believe that was not what Steph Curry normally would have worn.
It's a coincidence.
No.
A sucker, man.
That's right. That was the Petty King in full effect. Absolutely sending a message. This also comes from the same locker room where Jimmy Butler openly stated earlier in the series, I don't like that guy. And this isn't like a Buddy Hield joke. I do not like Dylan Brooks. And so this is one thing that I'm always interested in this. These are huge, big-time players. And there's emotions everywhere. And so Draymond gets under a lot of people's skin too. But you know this because you and I are afforded the opportunity to speak to a lot of players on the team, current and past. And one thing, sure, not named Jordan Poole, but one thing that we've normally found for a lot of people who have played around Draymond Green is, oh, he will instigate and get under your skin, but when the whole thing is over, really, really respect Draymond Green. Love him as a teammate, many have told us. I don't know if the league feels that way about Dylan Brooks. And I love that in what Draymond said about going after Steph's thumb, did you hear the part where he confirmed Steiny? Did you hear the part where he confirmed that I was right in that argument we had last week with regard to whether or not Dylan was openly admitting that he was purposefully going after Steph's thumb? Not meaning I want to try to attack that to win the basketball game. No, he was trying to hurt Steph Curry. And whether Draymond says, I get it or not, like,
was my point, like, and I'm with Draymond on that. Like, I totally get it.
No, he says, I get it. Not I support it. I get it. Dylan's not the only one who'll do it.
Right.
Still doesn't make it right. And so, I love the fact that he got called out because you will never convince me otherwise. His behavior in this series, once again, was completely inappropriate.
But it's one thing to be inappropriate in your opinion, in your words. Yes, it's another thing for Draymond Green to say, you know, Dylan Brooks ran off the floor, because you could do what you do in a seven-game series, and, you know, Dylan was physical and Draymond was physical, and they both had moments where they did things that were probably outside the lines, and same thing with Amen Thompson and many other players. But when it's over and the horn sounds, then as professional basketball players and entertainers, you get together and you at least go through quick, you know, knucks. You don't have to bring it in with every player and like share thoughts and emotions, but it was cool what Draymond did with Şengün. Yep. And you could tell that he was like, dude, you are awesome and you're going to have your moment and you keep doing what you're doing because you're a great player and you fought hard. And that's what Draymond does. The one thing, you know, you could say whatever you want about Draymond, and I have, but he understands the game, and he's very much a steward of the game in terms of like passing it on to the next generation about the right way to go about winning and losing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm always going to remember, as much as he messed it all up, and there's no two ways about it, he did. As much as he messed it all up, he lost his cool at the wrong time, in the wrong way, with the wrong person. But one thing that we learned out of what he did to Jordan Poole was that Poole talked about how, for the first few years of his career, that was Big Bro. That was the guy who, more than anybody else in the locker room, took him under his wing. So I know it's hard for people to sort of see it this way, because when we watch Draymond play basketball, it's always on the line, if not over the line. Like, it's constantly just triggering everybody. And there's so many things that I wouldn't even support out there or don't necessarily love watching. But when you're not in that heat of battle, you're right with what you just said. Like, he does seem to have that, especially late in his career, sort of that like elder statesman mentality of loving the game, protecting the league, wanting to guide people the right way.
Right.
I'm sure there are plenty of you who are like, that's the last guy on earth I want guiding the young players. But whether you feel that way or not, he does that. He does that, and if he sees somebody kind of doing it the wrong way, he'll call them out. And I don't know, man. There's a piece of that I really like. Draymond, there's nothing that's ever not sort of conflicted, but there's a piece of that I really like. So I like that he was honest about all of the different players on the Rockets with the way this all went down.
Yeah, and he wants to try to pass the game along like the game was passed to him, and he learned from the veterans that he went up against and veterans that he played with. And so when you leave the league and you love the league like he does, and, you know, we'll put aside the things that he's done that are outside the lines, but one thing we do know about Draymond Green is he loves basketball. He loves the winning culture. And I also think that he likes the NBA and he wants to leave the league in the way that he received it. And he wants to teach younger players lessons like that, where you play seven games and it's physical, it's contentious, and yeah, Dylan, you tried to hurt Steph repeatedly, and I don't necessarily think that that's a big problem. You and I had a full show and a half debate on that subject, but for this topic today, I totally agree with Draymond, which is, you know, whatever you did what you did, and I get it. At the end of it, come over, bring it in, and you don't have to, like, we don't have to hug it out and pretend that we're best friends, but come over and just shake my hand.
Like, stand on it.
Exactly.
Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Yeah.
You played seven games, and I don't remember any series that Draymond lost where he just beelined for the door. I feel like he's always kind of stuck around.
I can't think of that. Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't lost a lot of series.
That's true, too.
You know?
That's true, too.
I'm looking at the numbers here, and Steph Curry is 24-5 in series in his career.
Well, wasn't it the series 2 years ago that was technically the first time the Warriors had been defeated in a seven-game series where all Steph, Draymond, and Klay Thompson were healthy when they lost to the Lakers? And, of course, Draymond stayed on the floor and hung out with those guys.
Yeah, boy, LeBron.
You a sucker, man.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, I think they did a jersey swap.
I think they went to dinner.
Yeah.
So I got this breaking news.
Oh.
And it's about the game that's going to start here in a half hour. And the Cavaliers are going to be down some key players against the Indiana Pacers in a Game 2 situation where they've already lost Game 1. Darius Garland missed Game 1. He will also miss Game 2, and so will Evan Mobley.
Wow.
Along with DeAndre Hunter, they are all out for the Cavs in this Game 2, which conventional wisdom suggests that if they don't win it, they're dust. Like, I don't know how often in the history of the NBA you've lost games 1 and 2 at home and then come back to win the series. Like, maybe that's happened a couple times. But this feels like a game the Cavs have to have, and they're going to be out some very key players. And the Pacers have been playing really well. They're sneaky. They're sneaky. So, intrigue with regard to the game that will be the lead-in, the appetizer, the opening act, if you will.
No doubt.
For the Warriors and the Wolves tonight.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at it. Teams that drop the first two at home, they win 4 out of 28 series since 1984.
I'm surprised it's that high, to be honest with you.
Yep.
But 24?
4 and 24 are the records.
Yeah, 4 and 24.
Yeah. Yeah, that includes the last team to do it was the Clippers against Dallas in 2021 in that first round series.
Spread is down to 6, but they're still a 6-point favorite in the game, even with this news.
Wow. Okay. Cleveland's still favored.
By 6?
Yeah, jeez.
Game 2 energy. Desperation.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we mentioned this before about teams that lose game 1 at home, they still go on to win 50% of those series.
Right.
So if you're looking at, you know, all of the game 2s for the teams that lost game 1 at home, and that would be OKC, and that would also be Boston. Those are ones where I'm sure they're both going to be pretty heavily favored.
888-957-9570 as we get ready for game 1 of round 2 between the Warriors and the Wolves. And no doubt, a lot of us have thought about and talked about some of the overlap. We were mentioning it just about a half hour ago. All of the different things where some of these players and coaches and cities are intertwined, even though they've never played against one another in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards 2 years ago dreamt out loud of the idea of playing against the Warriors in the playoffs. And here we are. And part of it is this. Go back to when the Warriors had the number 2 pick in the draft. Anthony Edwards was the player who went number 1. We all know who went number 2. It was James Wiseman.
So, this is James Wiseman.
You know, the Warriors didn't pass on Anthony Edwards.
This is James Wiseman.
But he was right there, potentially for the taking. Therefore, he had a pre-draft workout with the Warriors. And all we've heard through the years is it didn't go well. So this is from that exact same interview that Grandy played earlier when Ant said he wanted the Warriors. This is from 2 years ago. And from the T-Wolves team and their social media. So listen to what he recalls from the pre-draft workout with the Warriors.
I was going through the drills and he kept stopping them like, that's all you got, that's all you got. And I'm like, bro, I'm going hard as you want me to go. Like, what you want me to do? I'm sweating crazy. He like, man, you got to see Steph and KD and Klay work out. And we went to dinner that night and they still was continuously telling me like you didn't work hard enough, like if we had the number 1 pick we wouldn't take you. And I was just like, damn, that's crazy. So me and my trainer ran home after dinner and we just talking like, bro, we gotta pick it up. I don't know how, I don't know what we gotta do, like, but we gotta pick it up. And I think after that, man, it's just I became a madman in the gym, and like I try to work till I'm tired, I'm exhausted.
The Warriors built this guy.
Right. That's a stretch, but...
No, but there's a piece of it. Like, they inspired him.
Well, his response right there is incredible.
It's great.
Because he played 1 year at Georgia, and he comes out, and, you know, you think you're doing all that you can, and, you know, Steve Kerr keeps stopping it. And he's like, you should see what these other guys are doing, who, I don't know if you've heard of these guys, but, you know, KD, Klay, and Steph, these guys have won a couple of titles here. 3 for 2 of them and 2 for the other guy. So, yeah, the standard that you need to match up to, it's going to have to be higher than that.
And then we had referenced this. This is from Netflix's Court of Gold. This is years later when Steve Kerr actually did coach Anthony Edwards in the Olympics. And listen to this exchange, which definitely brings about memories of the previous one we were just talking about.
You have such a gift like this. I mean, look, you were a tail baggers, running over people, right? Yeah. When is that going to translate to rebound? When is that going to translate to find a body and boom,
yeah,
hit guys?
See, my Kobe get on my ass by the same.
Yes, yes, because that's the next step for you. Yeah. You know, like you took such a leap last year from the beginning of practice to the end of the World Cup, and yeah, it translated, and you became one of the best players in the league. This is the next step.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Watching how hard we practice. I've never practiced, but I've seen the practice.
Right.
I've seen Steph. Yeah. Both those guys just the talking. All the physicality, that's the next step for you. Like, you got another level you can get to, but it's like all the little boring stuff.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Use that body, man.
I got you, baby.
So I know that's a little bit hard to hear maybe in spots, but what we're basically getting at is Steve says you have just an unbelievable gift. You have all the talent in the world. Your offensive game has become elite. When are you going to take this perfect NBA frame that you have and use it to get a rebound? Like, when are you going to do that?
You were a tailback in high school, you're
saying.
Exactly.
He's like, and he's like, man, that's what my coach always says to me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because this is the next step for you. You're elite. And he really is. Like, this conversation came up earlier in the year when LeBron was talking about, you know, not wanting to be the face of the NBA. And they asked Anthony Edwards, would you want to be the face of the NBA? And he's like, no, I don't want that gig because I see how the face of the league sort of gets treated. But I will say this. I don't know if he's the face or not in the next generation of basketball players. But if you offered me a selection of any player in the NBA currently in his 20s, I think that's the guy I'd take. I think that's the one. If I had a draft of NBA players in their 20s, I think that's the number one pick.
Interesting.
I really do. I'm trying to, like, I'm just doing this from memory because Jokic is 30, isn't he?
Jokic is 30, just turned.
Yeah,
he's just
30.
Turned in February.
Giannis is 30.
Yep.
We know for sure. Steph and LeBron are 82 years old.
Yep.
Right?
Tatum and Brown aren't 30.
Those guys are
Gilgeous
in their 20s.
Alexander's not 30.
Correct.
Where is Jaws not 30?
I'm taking Ant.
Yep.
I might have went to Wemby. Would you take Ant over Wemby?
Well, that's an interesting one. That still feels a little speculative to me, even though I understand his gifts. And I understand what he brings on both ends of the floor. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would, and here's why. It's literally what we just talked about with the Rockets. When they said, what do you need in the playoffs? I need somebody who's not a center. I need a ball handler who can go get me a bucket. I don't know if Wemby will ever be that. He's so important.
Well, he's not going to ever, like, crush you over with the ha-ha.
Right. And but, I think, like, right now, when I watch Wemby play, I'm like, dude, you're shooting too many threes. You're 8 feet tall. Stop shooting 13 threes a game. Go inside and be 8 feet tall. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking at the board right now. I think this is the guy I'd take. I think this is him.
Well, he won't be 24 until August. So,
which is nuts.
You're talking about a 23-year-old player.
Young.
He's so young. He's young, but if you look at his career so far, and he's been in the playoffs now 4 of 5 years.
Yep.
This is the fourth time in a row. So,
and conference finals last year.
Right. He's a young player by chronological age, but he's already been through it. First couple of years, he didn't advance out of the first round, and you mentioned the NBA conference finals last year. So there already has been a bit of a graduation for he and his team, and now he's got a real good cast around him. So it's going to be a tough series, no doubt.
888-957-9570 is the number. How are you feeling, Warrior fans? Does it lean positive or does it lean a little negative because of the rest disadvantage, et cetera, the age of the Warriors? We're taking your calls all afternoon as we get ready for this one. 888-957-9570, taking your calls right now. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.
You a sucker, man.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's ride. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And I do think that Jim Peterson, probably, is going to join us in about a half hour.
Former Warrior,
TV analyst for the Wolves. And so he is around the corner, we do believe. And I don't know about y'all, but based on what I have seen so far in the first round and the three games of the second round, I am now more optimistic, if that's the right word, of the Warriors' just chances of actually continuing and really competing for a championship. Because I just think all eight of these teams are closer than maybe we realize. Oklahoma City getting a notch against them last night is a big deal. I do not think that the Warriors are head and shoulders or even their hair above these other teams. I don't think they're better, but I just don't think the other teams are better than them either. I think this is as evenly matched as I've ever seen the final eight. And so there's no strength in numbers for the Warriors anymore, but I truly believe they're in the mix. I'm not going to say all eight teams have a shot to win it all. That would surprise me a little bit if, like, the Pacers won the whole thing or something like that.
Well,
but I'm telling you, man, like, I really think this thing is becoming a little bit broader than it usually is and broader than I thought it was. And I'm a little bit more optimistic about the Warriors' chances in this series than I was Friday. If you had told me they were going to need seven games to win last round.
Right, and you said on Friday that, you know, they're cooked. If they have to go to a game seven in Houston, then they're most likely cooked. And I mostly agreed with you because, you know, to go to Minnesota tonight and have to beat a rested T-Wolves team and all the rest of it, and then, boy, you got no chance against OKC and the rest of it. And while things changed pretty dramatically in the association and the playoffs, and OKC had a double-digit lead against Denver, and they couldn't close him out. And you look at Jokic, and he had, what, 40 and 20 and 6, or 42, 22 and 6, whatever the final numbers were. And it's
42, 22 and 6, I think is right.
I mean, my goodness, and Aaron Gordon had a Archbishop Mitty in San Jose, hits the big three to give him the win, and you realize that, yeah, there's a lot more parity, even though Oklahoma City won 68 games, and they had the best plus-minus point differential in NBA history, and that normally means that you're a dominant team, and they're still allowed to come back and win the series. I'm not saying that they're cooked, but the fact that they lost in that fashion, and they looked a little bit young, and I don't know what they were doing with their foul strategy late in the game. Like,
it was too quick.
They fouled too soon.
Way too quick.
Too early.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what Dibs is talking about, basically the Thunder were in a situation down the stretch where they were up by three. And it's often a strategy to foul in that situation so you don't let the other team shoot a three. But what Oklahoma City kept doing was fouling, like, immediately upon inbounding the ball. So if there's 15 seconds left, Denver would inbound it. They're like, whack! Okay, now there's 13 and a half seconds left. Well, wait a minute. They're just going to go hit their free throws, and then they're going to foul you, and we're going to do it again. And they kept doing it. Till then, suddenly, they got to a point where Chet Holmgren was the one who was fouled, and he went to the line and missed two.
Oh, boy.
And the Nuggets
nervy
get
two.
Right, and then the Nuggets get the rebound, and they got a full 9 seconds on the clock to run down the court, pass to an open Aaron Gordon, knock down a three, boom, win the game.
They're only down one, too. They didn't even have to shoot a three.
Oh, that's what Abe kept yelling. He's like, why did he shoot a three? I'm like, because in that situation, dude, you take any open shot you can get.
And he was open.
It was a good look. And then he goes, yeah, I bet there's muscle memory to that too. It's like, yeah, you can step inside the arc and shoot a 15-footer and nobody does that anymore.
Exactly.
So shoot the three. Shoot that thing. I thought the Nuggets were great with their fire drill in terms of, like, don't think. Don't stop. Don't think. Just boom, get the ball down the floor and take a shot. And it went in. And they won the game. And, yeah, the Thunder really messed that up.
Really quick, you guys mentioned the Thunder fouling really quickly and not allowing any time to come off the clock. They did it one time when Denver inbounded the ball after the made free throws. So they had to go the length of the floor. They had no timeouts, Denver did. And Jokic wasn't even on the court.
Correct.
So they committed the foul, giving the Nuggets a couple of free throws and allowing Jokic to come back in.
Right, and Jokic guarding SGA on that final inbound is what forced them to throw to Chet Holmgren, who then missed both free throws. Mm. and SGA is a 90 percenter. Well played. They Westbrooked that thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Against Westbrook.
Well, and you've got a younger coach, and he's not totally inexperienced, but you've got a team that has not really been through it. And so you were mentioning the parity, and you don't remember another year where there's been this much parity. And I look at OKC with 68 wins, and they're the outlier. But if you go seeds 2 through 8, they were separated by 4 games. Basically, from 52 to 48.
That's correct.
I go back to 2010, where 1 through 8 was separated by just 7 games. And so that's 1 through 8. This year, the 1 was so far and away, like in the regular season, beyond good. That's why I've been hesitant to agree with the whole idea of the parity. But then you have your 68 win team come out and lose game 1 at home. So you may be right about the parity.
I mean, you're not wrong either. Look, Aaron Gordon hit a shot, and they had a miracle comeback, and that does not mean OKC's now in trouble. But I do look at the 4 teams who are left, and OKC is on an island in a couple ways. You're right. 1, they won 68 games. 2, they've never been to a conference finals before.
Yep.
So the other 3 teams have, and in fact, 2 of them, and I know this isn't true for all the rosters, but the key players from Nikola Jokic to Jamal Murray to Steph Curry to Draymond Green, and if you want to throw in Jimmy Butler, at least because he's been to the finals, these teams have really advanced through the playoffs for a month and a half and seen every scenario. And Oklahoma City has not. And while they outplayed Denver most of the night last night, Grandy's point that he just brought up, that's true. That's where I think that stuff shows itself. Like, what are you doing when you've got a 10-point lead with 2 minutes to go? What are you doing when you've got a 3-point lead with 30 seconds to go? You gaffed it.
Yep.
You messed it up a bunch of different ways, and you lost.
That's right.
And this is what a lot of us were sort of hoping, in a way, against hope, would happen to Oklahoma City when they got to the playoffs. Because what did people always say? Sure, you're the best team, but until you do it, we need to see you do it, and they haven't done it, and last night was not a good start for them.
No, it was not, and I'm just looking at the ESPN win probability, and they're up 115-106 with 3 minutes to go.
Okay.
9-point lead, 96.3% chance of winning that basketball game, and then next thing you know, that thing got flipped, and you lose.
Yep.
Up 9 with 3 minutes to go at home. Coming off of a week of rest, you should be able to close that out.
I keep talking about how stop worrying when a team's up by 14 in the second quarter. That does not mean they blew a game. You up by 9 or 10 with 2.5 to go, 3 minutes to go, you blew the game. You blew the game. You blew it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Where were Boston and New York? Like, that 20-point lead, that was third quarter, wasn't it?
I think so,
It was in the third quarter for Boston. So you could argue a little bit maybe that they blew it. I mean, they just stopped making shots. That was unbelievable last night.
Yeah.
With the way that whole thing went down. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I see 75-55 with about 6 minutes to go in the third.
There you go. So that's still not like 20-point lead is not what it used to be. But
Right. But
when you're starting to push toward the fourth quarter and you're up by that much at home in game 1 of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Eek. Yeah, a little gaffy. A
little bit.
It's not as gaffy as what Oklahoma City did, but it's a little bit gaffy.
Well, and if you don't score, you're going to have a hard time holding on to any lead, let alone a 20-point lead.
That's a good analysis right there.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I go back to the game that the Warriors played against Minnesota earlier in the year, and Minnesota went almost 8 minutes without a bucket. Yeah. And so when that happens, if you go 8 minutes without a basket or a point, you're going to have a really hard time winning any game, even if you have a 20-point lead. Those things are going to slip away, especially in this day and age in the association where threes can come in bunches.
No doubt. We love hearing from the Warrior fans, especially on a night like tonight when we're getting ready for a big game, a game 1. What is your anticipation as we start this thing? Guess who's on the line? It's one of our really good friends.
Okay.
One of our really good friends. I love this man. This is Grandpa Daddy in Hayward. GPD.
GPD.
What are you doing getting ready for this one?
Man, listening to you guys, and I got to admit, I see why they say these are two of the smartest guys in sports talk radio.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to stroke your ego, but you guys are breaking it down tremendously, and I appreciate you, and I want to thank you for making our day, man.
Well, GPD, I think you just made ours. You may not be trying to stroke our ego, but it worked anyway.
Well, I'm going to tell you, what I'm doing, I'm getting ready to go pick up my daughter from school. But before I go, I'm eating some leftover chicken curry with leftover mashed potatoes.
Curry!
Let me see how this works. But one thing.
Yep.
I'm going to just say this. Okay. The Ant-Man, I you know what? I agree with you. Him and Wemby are the next face of the league. And he's really good. I'm a little apprehensive, but I really think that, I hope we can pull it off in 7. But I want to say something about Draymond Green.
Let's go.
I met Draymond like 5-6 years ago at, what is that, a Jack London Square? Is that Scott's, the restaurant?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mother's Day. Going to Scott's with my mother, Draymond walking in. Open the door for my mother. The dude's got a very good character, and you got to admit, off the court, he's got good character. When he's on the court, he's a dog, bro. He's an OG, and he's right. Look, bro, we can scrap just like when we were in school in high school. Hey, somebody called you out, you go back behind the shed, and you guys have a fist fight. And then the next day when I see you, okay, I got a black eye, you got a black eye. Hey, man, it's okay, man. You beat me, I beat you. But look, let's dap on it, and we still cool. Dylan Brooks, you's a sucker! Later, man.
Later, Daddy. GPD. Go get your daughter. Scott's by the bay. Scott's by the bay.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. Certain people you can get into a little tussle, a little scuffle with. And you're like, that's it. That's it for life. Like, I don't like you. Like, I am not on your side of the fence. And then there are others. He's become kind of an inside joke around these parts for us. But the voice of the Suns, John Bloom. And you love John Bloom.
I do love John Bloom.
He's my best friend in life. I kicked him out of my house when we were in high school.
Whoa.
I threw him out. Like, get out of my house. Which is funny because it's like, not my house. I'm like 16 years old. But I threw that man out of my house because we used to do that. We used to scrap like dogs. We wanted to do the same things in life. We liked the same things. And when two people are too similar, you butt heads. You butt heads sometimes. There's nobody outside of my mom, my kids, my lovely Christy that I love more than that man. But we would scrap and we would fight. And that's the way it is. But there's two kinds, I think. There's two kinds of interactions on that, and the Warriors made it very clear. Dylan Brooks and, for instance, Alpi Shengun, those are two different kinds of rivals coming out of that series. One of them has respect at the base of it. One of them does not.
Right, and it's hard to show respect for somebody who went about to intentionally hurt somebody, and I'm not talking about Steph and his thumb. I'm talking about Gary Payton II and that foul when they took on Memphis so many years ago. So even though Steve Kerr, like, he's always going to be a diplomat and let bygones be bygones and the rest of it, but certain players and certain members of the organization will never forget that.
No doubt. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.